We are going to continue the hour by talking about a cool event that's happening this weekend on campus, Saturday and Sunday, the 15th and 16th. You can head to the Global FedEx Center for an oral history performance called The Story of Us. This is collecting stories from 27 different LGBTQ alumni who attended UNC. This is going to be 7 o'clock on Saturday, the 15th, and then 2 o'clock on Sunday, the 16th, at the Global FedEx Center. A number of different organizations coming together to put this on, including the UNC Process Series. You can get more info on the show at their website, which is processseries.unc.edu. Among the more than two dozen alumni whose stories will be told is a man who's very familiar to us here at the station and to you as well, Orange County Clerk of Court Mark Kleinschmidt, who joins us here now on in the studio. Good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Aaron. I'm doing great and really excited about this weekend.
It's a really, really cool project. So what does it entail? Like, that was the 10-second summary. What's it all going to be about?
Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, I think, a group of alumni came together and created a queer-based alumni group. And we were reaching out all across the country, talking to our friends and other and folks that we went to school with. And we wanted to be able to come together and provide a resource. And as we started gathering, we have about almost 1,000 members now. As we started gathering, we would meet together and we would talk about our experiences at Carolina. And it was so interesting to talk about what it was like to be in Chapel Hill, to be a student at UNC, and let's say, and be gay in like the 1950s.
Right.
And how it was different in the 1960s. And then suddenly the 70s come and people are reaching out a little bit more, being a little bit more visible. And then in the 80s, late 80s, I arrive, still a community that was tough to be out in. It was still making a big statement to acknowledge that you were part of the queer community. And then how this revolution has occurred in the last 20, 30 years, where you know, the university actually goes to great lengths to try to create a level of comfort and safety for the queer community. What a transition in just a generation and a half. And those stories were just bubbling up, and we were like, you know, we've got to bring these stories to the people. And we needed to tell the story of us. And I remember saying that around a table with Sean Grabs, who works for the University Development Office, and she was instrumental in beginning CPAN, which was the Carolina Pride Alumni Network. Mm. And she said, "That's it. It's the story of us."
Is this your title? Did you come up with it?
Yeah, I just kind of came. I just said, "We need to tell the story of us." And
nice.
She's like, "That's it. That's what we're going to call it."
I remember you talking at the Pride, and this is not UNC now. This is Chapel Hill, but like the Pride March last year, and just looking out at this huge crowd of people that had gathered at Peace and Justice Plaza, and what a huge difference it was now versus the late 80s when there were Pride marches, but they were very small and just the vibe was completely different.
Oh yeah. I remember going to my first Pride march. I didn't march. Mm-hmm. And I just pretended to have accidentally been on the street when it happened.
Yep.
You know, that's the kind of
experience.
It was just the lived fear, constant fear of being outed. And then you convince yourself would be the great levels of discrimination that you would face if anybody knew about you. You know, I mean, when I was a undergrad, I was studying to be a teacher. And at the time, you know, there was not just no protections for queer teachers, but I mean, you just weren't going to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, and so I was really just scared about being too visible. I had friends who did come out in college to a greater degree. Now, I'm eventually, before I graduated, I mean, the hinges were thrown off the door, but I had some friends who came out a little bit before me, and then they would get involved in the community. And I remember I had one in particular who, because she appeared in the newspaper, somebody who didn't like her wrote to her mother to tell her about this and sent the story in. And that was her outing to her family.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Just horrifying. And so nobody ever knew what to expect of their own coming out experience back then.
And this is like Anita Bryan era too, or just after it, where you've got people trying to pass laws against gays and lesbians just having any opportunity to teach at all, right?
Well, admitting that you expressed your love and affection for somebody of the same gender was a Class I felony in North Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that actually is still on the books. It just isn't enforceable because of Supreme Court decisions. But that's what they would say to us, you know, like, oh, you're not going to get hired as a teacher. You're an admitted felon. You know, and that's how the members of the legislature responded to our efforts to try to create laws that to protect the LGBTQ community. And so, you know, whenever that's the excuse for not giving you just basic human rights, it's kind of a scary place to be in.
Speaking with Mark Kleinschmidt, one of 27 LGBTQ alumni at UNC who's going to be having their story told at The Story of Us, which is going to be Saturday and Sunday, 7 p.m. Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday at the Global FedEx Center, part of the UNC Process Series and a number of other organizations coming together to make this happen. And I don't want to give too much away from the performance, but you did say, and now I have to ask for more details on the hinges being thrown off when you were at UNC about coming out. Yeah,
it was kind of hard to keep them on the door eventually, because I mean, my sophomore year, and I tell the story, I think, a little bit. I don't know what part of my story is actually going to be in the performance, which is making me kind of
nervous.
Haven't
even seen it yet, yeah.
No, I haven't read a script. I haven't.
Oh, man.
Done it. So it's like, I just know that some piece of my interview is going to be in there, and I wonder, is it going to be my coming out?
Right.
You know, like, walk of shame that I did coming home one night when I was supposed to be, you know, out with friends, and then I didn't show up in my dorm and walking through the hall, and everybody knew where I had been, and it was over. You know, it was like, okay, here I am. But I actually was fortunate enough to live in a community on campus that was a very safe space. There was a living and learning program called UNITAS at the time, and it deliberately sought out people of different life experiences, force them to live together in a community to try to engage with difference and to celebrate diversity. And so I was grateful that I had this hall. I lived on this hall in Carmichael with people who were, initially, some of them were a little confused, like, wait, don't you have a girlfriend? Well, not anymore. And then, you know, being out and then being embraced by them. And so that safe space I had there gave me a little more courage to stand up and be loud and wear my, there were all kinds of, like, things we would wear. I mean, I had a big T-shirt with a pink triangle on it, of course, and I had these little pride rings, which were really popular in the 90s, and I wore them proudly and dared people to ask me what they were about. you know, it was just, again, you know, it was a time of liberation. It was also a time of great anxiety and fear, because I was still trying to get a job as a teacher. And once when I did become a teacher in the 90s, I kind of had to pull that door closed a little bit.
Right. Did you ultimately have trouble getting a job as a teacher for that reason? Or?
I didn't, because I closed the door a little bit.
Closed the door a little bit, yeah.
You know, and so my professional life, I worked with people. It was the only time in my life where I worked with people who didn't know all of me. You know, they didn't know the story of me. And I think this is what this whole project is about. It's like, it's getting these stories out that were kept quiet. They were kept undercover. And to kind of reveal what had been hidden for so long in the lived experiences of queer people who both went to school and taught at the university over the last several decades. You know, these stories, and you can hear many of them at the online with the Southern Historical Collection, and you can hear the full interviews with many of the people, and you can just hear in them, even as they retell their experiences from the 60s, 70s, and earlier, just the great anxiety around being found out. And the desperate measures that people went to find each other, to create a sense of community, and just the great acts of courage that it took to come together and stand up and provide support for each other, the kind of support that I eventually found in my living and learning program when I was an undergrad. And I hope that this is kind of, you know, this is revealing to people, particularly to young people today, who it's a different experience that I think that they live. And they stand on the shoulders of people who have really suffered both personally and professionally over the years.
I think it's relevant even today. And I think you mentioned it, like having to go to work and not be able to be open about yourself. Like people who don't feel like they have to hide or they don't have pressure to hide, like they don't understand just how open they are on a regular basis. And that's true today. You've got, you know, the anti-gay backlash, like, oh, you're a teacher, why are you talking about your spouse or your sexuality in class? It's like, listen to other people and see how often they talk about it. Like, people feel very open to talk about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And it just washes over us because we don't notice it.
Because you don't notice it. You know, I could go down the hall of the school that I taught in. I could say, you know, I'll make up some last names to protect the innocent. But you're like, Mrs. Jones, we all know that she's married to Mr. Jones and they've got three kids and one of them is about to graduate from college. And Mr. Thompson down the hall has got, you know, he's been divorced three times and has got five kids and doesn't know how to make his teacher's salary pay for all the child support. And, you know, we could tell these stories because everybody knows and knew those stories, the story of them. But nobody knew or was aware of the story of us. We had to keep it quiet or risk, you know, just alienation and really the inability to access any other kinds of opportunities.
Who are some of the other alums whose stories will be told?
Well, one of them we affectionately call her the voice of God, Janora McDuffie.
Nice.
who serves on the board of CPAN. You know, she's, we say that because she was an announcer in a recent Oscars telecast.
Oh, cool.
And she's a well-respected actress. And it's just kind of, I geek out totally whenever we go to board meetings and there's Janora. she was on Grey's Anatomy for a couple seasons. But so her story is going to come out. There are, and then there are folks that are coming, you know, that really from the first to organize, you know, students and faculty together. A former student body president, Hogan Medlin, mm-hmm. is his story is going to be, parts of his story are going to be told and dramatized. And again, I don't really know for sure what's Hogan's bit. I don't know, because I don't even know what Mark's bit or what's Janora's bit.
Right.
It's going to be fun. I'm a little nervous, but this is the kind of anxiety that I embrace as opposed to that kind of anxiety that I lived with as a 19-year-old.
Yeah. What's the actual performance going to entail? Do you know that?
Well, they've spent some months weaving together what amounts to hundreds of hours of oral histories and to create a narrative around the changing life experience of people who both work at and were students at the university. And there are a whole host of good for us professionally trained people, several from Playmakers, including Vivian, who is the artistic director at Playmakers, is going to be performing, and a few other members of their troupe. And they're going to bring our interviews to life. And again, I hope you know, the world comes to see this with me, and I think the rest of us who participated in the interviews, because this is, I don't know, it feels like it's an odd place to be, and who's gonna, you know, tell?
It's got to feel kind of surreal, right?
Who's gonna speak my words, and then I'm gonna be able to hear and evaluate them, you know, as another, as opposed to the one who spoke. And so I'm really, it's this dissonance that I'm in right now. Like, it's gonna be fun though.
Well, it's called The Story of Us. It's going to be Saturday the 15th, 7 p.m., Sunday the 16th at 2 p.m. at the Global FedEx Center. Processseries.unc.edu is one of the websites where you can go and find out more information about this. We're speaking with Mark Kleinschmidt, and we got to wrap up. Other things that folks ought to know?
Well, I hope that other members of the queer community at large who have a connection to UNC will also join and participate in the Carolina Pride Alumni Network. This project, along with twice a year reunions now are, and other kinds of activities around the country are available and opportunities for people to get together and to share these stories with each other. Even if they're not told in the story of us this weekend, the CPAN gives everyone an opportunity to share their story with each other. And I hope they join and become active in it. There's a whole lot of other activities going on next weekend as well. And so if you visit the website, go to UNC, search for CPAN, you'll see all the other activities that are coming up, including attending the Playmakers show that's just started.
Georgia McBride, yeah.
Yes, The Legend of Georgia McBride. We're all going to be there on the 14th.
It seems like such a fun show, right?
I can't wait to see
it. It's
going to
be so good. processseries.unc.edu is the website for the UNC Process Series. Get more information there about the story of us. Saturday the 15th, 7 p.m. Sunday the 16th, 2 p.m. at the Global FedEx Center. Everyone's invited out to that. Mark Klatchman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.